All right, let's get started. Thanks for coming out to this talk today, The Few and the Brave. I'm incredibly excited to talk to you today about what's new in the Apps for Outlook platform since we first released in the release of Exchange 2013. My name is Alex Park. I'm a developer in the Exchange team working on the Apps for Outlook platform. So before we get started, let's take a quick poll. How many of you have heard of mail apps or even developed a mail app before? All right, let's flip the question. How many of you have never heard of mail apps? Have no idea what it is? All right. So let me start by giving you a brief introduction of what mail apps are and the Apps for Outlook platform. So mail apps are a type of app in the Apps for Office platform. It was introduced in Office 2013, along with other apps, including Apps for Word, Apps for Excel. And it's based on the same web technologies as the Apps for Word and Excel, which means that the front end of the app is built using HTML, JavaScript, and CSS, your familiar technologies. What it allows is it enables developers to extend the functionality of Outlook so that the users and users can get more done without leaving the comforts of their inbox. And also, it should be noted that these apps can be installed for the user's own mailbox or by administrators for the entire org. So there are two concepts about mail apps that I want to really emphasize. The first one is that you write it once and you run it everywhere. What this means is that once you write a mail app, you can run it on Outlook for desktop, if you have a SP1, OWA, Outlook web app, and also the OWA app for iPhone and, coming soon, for Android, and iPad as well. Also, you write it once, and if the scenario pertains to both the messages and appointments, you can run it on both messages and appointments as well. The next very important concept about mail apps that I want to emphasize is that they appear, or the read apps, the apps that we shipped in Office 2013 RTM, they appear contextually based on entities or patterns. What this means is that, as you can see in these screenshots, we have the Bing Maps app, which is a default app shipped with Exchange. So any user will get it unless disabled by administrator. And the Bing Maps has appeared in this message because there is an address inside the message, and the Exchange extracts the entity that is the address and then tells the Bing Maps app, hey, you should activate here because there's an address in this email. So those are the two concepts that are really important in understanding what mail apps are. So that's very quickly what we shipped in 2013 RTM. And now I'm going to talk to you about what's new. So first and foremost, we have easy and very easy to code body and attachment access. So even in Office 2013 RTM, it was possible to access body and attachments from the mail app, but it was extremely cumbersome to code, it was hard to do, and we have simplified that process in the new update. The next new thing about mail apps is commerce, in that you can sell or give away subscription to your app. Finally, and this is my favorite because I worked on it, Compose apps. Mail apps will now work in the Compose form for both message and appointments. And you can use them to extend the functionality of the Compose form just like we were able to extend the functionality of the reading pane before. So let's start by talking about body attachment access. And I think the best way to show the power of easy body and attachment access is the screenshot of this app right here, which is the DocuSign app. As you can see, DocuSign app activates when there's an attachment in the message that the user received in the inbox. And what it allows a user to do is, instead of having to print, sign, scan, and reply to send the signed form back to the sender, you can just one click on this DocuSign app, drag and drop your signature, and send. And I think these kind of scenarios are fantastic scenarios that are now enabled by easy body and attachment access, especially on mobile devices where printing and scanning is really not something you want to try to do. So let me show you quickly an app that uses attachment access that's already in the store called Harmony. So here we have an app that activated with the attachment that was included in the email. And what Harmony app allows you to do is quickly save this file into your SharePoint. So you click on the app, wait for it to load. And here's the same attachment that's in the email. You click it, hit next, pick your site, pick a folder, and save to this SharePoint location. Since I've done this demo a couple of times, it's going to tell me the file's already there. And just like that, you can upload the attachment you received into your SharePoint folder. So before I talk to you about how to access attachments in the newest update of Exchange, I want to talk to you about how difficult it used to be back in RTM. So what the app had to do, first, it had to forward the message to a separate SMTP endpoint. And then the endpoint had to parse the message and extract the attachments. And worst of all, the app required the highest permission level to install, which was administrator installable only, which means an end user might get all excited about this cool new app that accesses attachments, and only to find out that he can't access it, he can't install it himself because of the permissions, and then he would have to go on a quest to convince his or her administrator to install this app for him. So we came up with these approach goals when we were designing the new ways to access the attachment API. The first one is that the end user apps, what I mean by that is apps installable by simple end users should be able to access body and attachments. Also, another important design goals we had is that we should optimize for client bytes over the wire, which means the front end of the app, which means the JavaScript, the HTML and JavaScript app, rarely has any need for the bytes themselves, which means it would not make sense to automatically push the bytes over to the front end. So what we went to instead is the back end of the app has all the information it needs to grab the actual attachment bytes should it need to, but it doesn't do it by default to save the number of bytes sent over the wire. So here's the design. First, the app requests the attachment metadata from the JavaScript endpoint. It gets the callback token as well, and I'll explain a little later what the callback token is. And also, it gets the EWS URL, and then it sends it back to its backend. Then, the app's backend is able to call EWS using those tokens and metadata that it just got and get the actual bytes of the attachment. So as promised, I'm going to explain a little bit what the callback token is. It extends the concept that an app really should be able to read any property on the item that it was launched on, which means it is item and session bound. Item bound means that it is bound to the current item, and it can only get the attachments and the item information of the item that it launched on. It will not be able to access any other data in the mailbox. It is also bound to session, and I put quotes around it because it's technically difficult to actually bind this token to the session. So it just means that it's extremely short-lived, and it is only valid for 5 minutes. It is also a bearer token, pretty common with OAuth, which means if you do lose it, somebody can use it instead of you to get the attachment and the item. But like I said, it's short-lived, so that shouldn't be too dangerous of a problem. So let's dive straight into code. And
show you how easy it is to access the attachments. So I'm actually going to create a new project. And we're selecting Apps for Office. I'm not too clever when it comes to naming projects, so I'm just going to call it My Attachments, which I already have because I've practiced. And then here we'll select Mail Apps. And I think nobody raised their hands when I asked if anybody's ever tried creating a mail app, but this is actually a little new. So after RTM, when we launched SP1, we now have the ability to make Compose apps. We'll get into that a little bit later, but right now we're going to uncheck them because we're only accessing attachments. And let's let Visual Studio do its magic.
I'm sorry? The question was, is this part of the Visual Studio update? I'm not actually 100% sure if it comes with the Visual Studio update too, but if you go to dev.office.com, it should lead you to a link where you can definitely download the toolset, and it is available for free, so it should be very easy to download and install.
All right, so here's the template that Visual Studio created for us, and I want to, since it seems like most of us are not familiar with mail apps, I want to go over some key parts of the app. So here's the HTML file, and as you can see, the boilerplate app that Visual Studio creates for you is able to get the subject and the sender of the message. And if you look at the JavaScript here, this is something we should pay attention to. You can see we have an office.initialize function that the app hooks onto. And what this does is the Office platform will let the app know when all the JavaScript objects that it needs in order to activate has been completed and ready to use. That's why anything we do regarding mail apps has to be called inside this function. So as you can see, inside this function, we have display item details. And what it does is it gets the from field and the display name field and fills out the divs with the information. So let's get the attachment info. We're going to add attachment name here. And we'll set the ID to attachment name. And also the attachment size, which is available to us just using JavaScript API. Now we have to add the relevant lines in the JavaScript to actually spit out those information. Attachment name. Here, since this is a demo, I'm kind of hacking it and not checking if there's an actual attachment. But if you're actually building an app, you should definitely do that check. And simple as that, you can get the attachment name from the APIs. And let's also add the size here. Simple as that. Let's run it, make sure I didn't make any mistakes. So here you're going to want to enter your Office 365 developer account, or any Office 365 account that you're developing on. And what Visual Studio will do is it'll automatically build a project and also deploy it to the server for you. So it's going to take a little bit to auto-discover and call an EWS call to upload the app. So here it is. Let's log on. All right, so here's the app that we just deployed. And as you can see, the APIs indeed worked. We get the name of the attachment here, which is supersaiyan.gif, and also the size as well. All right, so you might be asking now, what do we do if we actually want the bytes? Now, like I said, the front end of the app does not get the bytes over the wire itself. You have to create a back end. And we're going to do that using ASP.NET Web API. I'm sorry? How did I deploy the app? How I deployed the app was Visual Studio. When you click start with the Mail Apps project, Visual Studio will automatically build the app and also deploy the manifest to your Office 365 server using the credentials that you provided with. So I'm going to show you how we have achieved downloading the attachment bytes to disk. I'm not going to do it from scratch just because that's a risky effort that may or may not work. But the idea remains the same. Like I said before, what you do is you send the app's backend with the metadata and callback token and EWS URL from the front end, and then the backend uses that information to get all the bytes of the attachment. So here we have a new button. It's a simple button, get attachment. And when we click that attachment function, which is hooked up right here, when that function is called, what we do is we first get the attachment ID, and this is the EWS ID of the attachment. We get the EWS URL, and we use this async method called getCallbackTokenAsync to actually get the callback token. And then we just build it into an object, and we send an AJAX request to this getAttachment endpoint that we created. And all that getAttachment endpoint does is it first calls the getAttachment EWS call to the EWS URL that you got from the front end. And then you can see here, for one of the headers of the request, we add authorization bearer, and we put the callback token in there, and that authenticates you against the EWS server. And then when we get the files back, the file bytes back, we just hackily, since this is a demo, just write it to this temp folder on the desktop, and we should have the attachment file in our desktop once this method finishes executing. So let's try that. Again, we're going to provide it with the credentials, and it'll auto-deploy it for us. And I'm just going to go ahead and delete this. Whoops. So let's log on again. And again, here we have the app that we just built. And here's the button that we added. And when we click it, what it's going to do is do exactly what we saw. It's going to get the callback token and the metadata and make an EWS call. So success should be done, right? It should be on the temp folder, and here it is. The magnificent GIF in all its glory. So now you might be asking, exactly how did the Harmony app accomplish saving the attachment to SharePoint? And this part is a little bit more complicated and requires a little bit more work. First, you have to register this mail app as a web server app in Active Azure Directory, Azure Active Directory. And then the users grant permission via the OAuth flow. And then the backend will get the token to call into the SharePoint API, and then it'll call into OneDrive. So here it is. The app will usually have a launch OAuth or some kind of a button to launch the OAuth flow, and it'll pop out a new window asking the user for consent. Once user grants consent, it'll call into the redirect parameter, redirect URL parameter, and it'll get the refresh token needed to get the access token into the SharePoint APIs. And then it gets the code, passes to the backend, and the backend simply uses the tokens to call into the SharePoint APIs. So let's see how that works real quick. I'm sorry? For SharePoint? I think I'm not an expert with the OneDrive API, but it should allow you to specify exactly which site and which folder that you want to place the file on. I'm sorry? Mm-hmm. Yes? I think that's the long... So the question was, is apps for Office going to replace VSTO? And the long-term vision is definitely that, but the reality currently is that VSTO and apps for Office are going to coexist for the near future, but eventually apps for Office should replace VSTO. So here we are back again. So we have two buttons this time. We have the button that will kick off the OAuth flow to provide us permission to get the access to the OneDrive API. And we have another button to save the attachment to OneDrive. So if we look in the JavaScript file, this do OAuth flow method will be called when the user clicks on the request access request permission button. And all it does is gets the authorization URL, which is a little bit complicated, so that's why we're calling into the backend. That's why we're calling to the backend to get the URL. And then, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble here getting the right method for you. Here it is. So the get authorization URL endpoint will simply use the login.windows.net URL here to build the correct endpoint to start kick off the OAuth flow for this API. And then once we get that, all we do is we window.open, so we pop up a new window with that URL. And what happens when that window opens is it's going to redirect you to Azure Active Directory. You're going to give a consent through the OAuth flow. And then it's going to call back to the redirect URL with the refresh token. And then with that token, we're able to click on the Save Attachment button. And all it does is it gets the callback token, EWS URL, attachment ID, and calls into this backend endpoint. And this is really similar to the get attachment, the download attachment endpoint that we saw earlier. And it really is similar. What it does is it gets the bytes from EWS like before, but instead of writing it to the file system, it's going to write to SharePoint. So if we look at the save attachment method here, what it does is it gets the OneDrive endpoint, and again, using authorization bearer with the access token that we got from the OAuth flow, write to the SharePoint service so that the file shows up on OneDrive for Business. So let's quickly look at how this code works in reality. Give it a second for it to auto-discover, deploy. And here, again, we have the attachment demo that we just deployed. And we're going to provide permission here, like I said. It's going to kick off the OAuth flow with Azure Active Directory. And this is the disappointing part. Because I've done this demo multiple times on my desktop, it already has consent. And it turns out revoking consent is actually harder than granting consent currently. So you'll have to take my word for it when I say this should have shown you the Azure Active Directory consent flow. So now that we have consent, we're going to open OneDrive on a separate tab. And as you can see, the folder is empty. And we're going to click. And this will call into EWS, get the bytes, and save it into SharePoint. Give it a minute to do its magic. And success, when we refresh, we have the file here, just like we saw it on the desktop a moment ago. And the OneDrive API works like this. All right. So that's all I'm going to talk about the attachment and body access APIs. Here are some documentations. If you're wondering how I did the ASP.NET web APIs, the second link will also explain to you exactly how to do that. And I'll be posting this code to the Office Dev GitHub after the talk. So if you want to look at the code and see for yourself how all this works, you can do that. All right, I'm going to be very quick about commerce because the gist of it is you can sell apps now. You can sell trial mode, you can sell apps, you can also give it away as trial mode, you can sell subscription to the app. And one important thing that I want to note about the commerce scenario is that we don't do any work for you to tell you if the app license is valid. What we do is we give you an entitlement token, and the app's backend needs to pass that entitlement token into an endpoint to validate that the entitlement token is valid and the user did actually pay for the app. The documentation is available here. It's pretty self-explanatory. And finally, we're going to talk about Compose apps. Harmony is a paid app, yes. I'm not exactly sure how they licensed it, but I'm pretty sure it's a paid app. So to start talking about Compose, I'm going to show you a quick demo of Compose apps to show you what kind of cool scenarios that it enables. So we're going to switch over to the projector again. So here I have an email from Corey, and he's asking me to send him a link to the App Store Outlook documentation. And many people ask me for this link all the time, but since it might be a complicated link, so I don't memorize it and I can't just pull it out from memory and reply back to him. What if there was an easy way to store things that you send out often, and then simply click on a button to insert that link. So this is called the My Templates app. It's a default app just like the Bing Maps app that we ship with every Exchange. So if you have Exchange SP1 or Exchange 2013 SP1, or if you're on Office 365, you have this by default. And what it allows you to do is have a list of templates that if you frequently send an email, you can create new templates here and send it out with one click anytime you want. And like I've said before, App Store Outlook platform is all about write once and run everywhere. So here we have an iPhone. And here is the same email that we got from Corey. And what if I'm on the go and I really want to send them the link right here and now? We do the same thing. We reply. And this hexagon button right here is the apps button. Pardon the UI. There's a bug right now that we've already fixed. But here's the My Templates app. And here's the App Store Outlook link. We insert it. And voila, the link is there again. So these are kind of the scenarios that Compose apps allow. And I also want to show you another scenario that's enabled by the app being able to run in both Compose and Read. So what if I wanted to send out a survey without having to go through a SurveyMonkey or any third-party app? So we have this quick demo app for voting. And all this does is it allows you to create a survey and send it out to your friends. So let's ask a question. What is your favorite Texan food? Barbecue or Tex-Mex? So this actually is currently possible just using Outlook's voting buttons. But to prove that we can even add on to that using Compose apps, we enabled the ability to ask a second question, and let's say, what did you think about the keynote? As you can see, I'm not giving you a negative choice. So you save the questions, it adds the questions onto the email. I'm just going to send it to myself for demo purposes for now. And like I said, the power here is that the apps are able to activate both in Compose and Read. So this is exactly the same app that we saw when we were making the survey. And here, we open the app, and here's the questions that I sent out. So I'm going to vote barbecue, awesome. And I think this is the power of being able to have the same app activate in a Read scenario and Compose scenario. So before we get into the code, the meat of Compose, let's go back and talk a little bit about the three main pillars of the Compose apps framework right now. The first one is activation. Then there's capabilities of what the Compose apps are capable of, and also the slightly modified permissions model. Activation is actually very simple with Compose because with Read apps, we were talking about apps activating using entities and regex and other context. But in Compose, there's actually not a context. When the user hits new mail, there's not a context and the user is creating context real time. So unlike in Read apps where the context dictates which apps show up on a given message, in Compose, every Compose app will show up, and then the user can choose which app to use to create his or her context. And like I showed you with the My Templates app, Compose apps are across desktop, tablet, and mobile. Here are some of the capabilities of the Compose apps. So it currently can use the core JavaScript APIs that are also available to the Read apps. It can get the user identity token. It can, if it has permissions, it can make EWS requests.
It can also get a user settings, which is basically a dictionary key value pair that persists over sessions, over multiple sessions. And also, the app is able to get the user profile, which includes information like user's locale, user's name, and user's time zone. Compose apps can also read or write to recipients, so it can access and write to CC and BCC fields. It can also read and write the subject of the email. Compose apps can also add attachments right now. It can add file or item attachments, and the way you add file attachments right now is you host the file on a web server, so you give a URL to the add file attachment API, and Exchange will go grab it for you and attach it to the email. Item attachments are basically you give the add item attachment API the EWS item ID from your mailbox, and it'll grab that item and attach it as an attachment to the mail you're composing. Compose apps can also write to the body. It can do two things. The first thing it can do is it can prepend to the body, which means whatever you give to the API is the first thing that'll show up on the body after you call it. And also, it can overwrite the current selection in the body, which means if you have a word selected, it'll replace it with the content you're trying to enter. And also, if you don't have any selection, it'll just simply insert at the place of the placement of the cursor. This is appointment specific. It doesn't work on message, obviously. It can get or set start and the end time of an appointment using the JavaScript APIs. And it can also get or set location field of the appointment. And it can get, set, add attendees just like you can get, set, add recipients in message. Finally, Compose apps can access what we call custom item properties. These are basically dictionary key value pairs that are saved on the sent item. So let's say you're creating a message and you want to categorize it as green. What you can do is you can use the custom item properties APIs to set a key value pair like category green, and then when you look at the app, when you look at the message in your sent folder later on and use the app to access the custom properties, it will tell you that it was already stamped categories green. We think this allows very interesting scenarios, like in CRM, for example, we can mark the message as tracked so that we know which message we've tracked or which we haven't managed to do so yet. Finally, I'm going to talk to you about permissions model of mail apps right now. So there are four permission levels, the most restricted being restricted, and most permissible being read-write mailbox. And read-write mailbox is the permission level that requires an administrator to install the app. Everything below that, so read-write item, read item, and restricted, are all able to be installed by the end user. We want to be a little bit thoughtful about permissions, especially because we don't want to confuse the users when the user creates a mail app. For example, if I'm creating a read app only, so I'm creating the Harmony app that we saw, and if it has the read-write item permission, the user could be confused by the fact that it's asking for permissions to write to an item when the description of the app is only saying that it'll be able to read from the item. And vice versa, if you're writing a Compose app and you only ask for read item permission, you're actually not going to be able to set anything. You're not going to be able to set the subject. You're not going to be able to set the recipients, so on and so forth. So I think permissions are very important in ensuring that your apps are successful. So let's dive straight into code again. And we're going to see how simple it is to use the Compose APIs. All right, so here, again, we have, we're creating a mail app. So let's call it a Compose app demo. compose app demo 2.
And here we're, again, at the familiar mail app. And this time we're only going to select compose form because we're creating a compose app. And again, Visual Studio gives you a nice boilerplate code so that you can get going very quickly. So if we look at the HTML file for the app, it can already get the subject and return it to you. It can add you to the recipients list. But we also wanted to do a couple other things. So let's say we want to write to the body. So write HTML. Let's also give appointment scenario some love and set the start time. And finally, I also want to be able to add the attachment like I've mentioned before, so let's also add file. So back in the JavaScript file, let's go ahead and hook up all the buttons that we just created. So we're going to hook up the write HTML button. Also set start. And finally, add file. And let's look at the functions that have already been created for us. Here, if you look at the set subject, so a quick word about this cast this is doing. So the item object in the Office JavaScript APIs are polymorphic, so they actually don't need to be cast, but in Visual Studio, we want to provide the developer with the richest possible IntelliSense. So to help the Visual Studio out, we're allowing casts here so that the IntelliSense on the item that we get back is the most complete possible. So here, as you can see, this is the item object, all of it right here. And then all it does is gets the subject object and calls a set async function. Getting subject is very similar. It gets the subject item, subject object, and it calls get async on it. And I'm sure you've noticed by now that these compose APIs are all async calls. And this is because things on the compose form can change at any time, which means when the app is launched, you might have hello world in the subject field, but by the end, you might have goodbye world. So we want to make sure that the app is able to get the latest properties on the item at all times, which is why all the calls are async. Which means when we're getting the subject, we actually have to provide it with a callback function, which we do here, and then the value from the result object will be the subject from the item. And recipients is the same, so I will not go over that. So let's create these new functions that we just referenced. So we want to write HTML. And we're gonna get the mailbox item. Context.mailbox.item. And get the body object here. And we're going to call the set selected data async call. And we're going to set it, this is bold. I got that mixed up. This is not bold. This is bold. And the reason why I'm putting HTML in here is to emphasize to you the fact that we are able to put HTML in the body using our APIs. But in order to do that, we do have to provide the API with an additional parameter. And if you've created a Task Painter content apps for Word before, this will actually be familiar to you. We will set the coercion type to HTML. Okay, so that's right, HTML function, super easy. And let's write the method for setStart this time. And again, it's really a simple API call. So we get the start object, and we set async. That's it. Before, we need to create a date object, so let's do that real quick. And let's simply just set our to 10, let's say. So that's that. And finally, let's create the add file function. And again, it's a one-liner. As you can see, we have two functions here. We have add file attachment async and then add item attachment async. And it takes as a parameter a URL, like I said, in the internet where it can get the file. So I have a cheat sheet here where the file is located. All right, so looking at this code, there are a couple of gotchas that I want to emphasize. Like I said, these API calls are all async, which means if I, for example, did a subject.setAsync and subject.getAsync right back to back, because the function calls are async, there's no guarantee that the second call, which is the getAsync, will be called before the setAsync. So when we're working with these async APIs, it is important to note that if we want to ensure that the APIs are called in the right order, we call them in the callbacks. Another thing that we should note is that even these async calls that I didn't provide a callback function to, they are able to get a callback function. And what that allows you to do is 90% of the time, 95% of the time, these API calls are going to work flawlessly. However, for those few times where the API call fails for any reason, you can provide it with a callback function, and the result object, instead of the value, will have what happened, what the error object. So you can show a meaningful message to the user explaining what happened and also asking the user to try again. So let's hope that I didn't make any typos and try this out. Again, we are waiting for it to auto-discover and deploy the manifest to the Office 365 development account. Let's log in. All right, so let's go to the calendar because we, if you recall, we are accessing the start object. Oh, another thing I should mention, because this is a demo, I'm not doing any error checking, but ideally, you should check before you make this start call that you are in the context of an appointment so that the app does not throw an error when you try to do this in the message. So let's go back and create a new event. Here in the event form, we have the apps button just like before. And here is a typo I made. So let's fix that. Make sure that's okay. Start. All right, so we have these functions here. We can set the subject. As you can see, the event field is updated accordingly. We can change this to one, two, three, four, five, for example. And once we call get subject, it will return the subject, the updated subject. And let's try these other APIs that we also wrote. And if when we click on write.html, as you can see, it was able to do this is not bold, this is bold with the correct HTML markup. And like I said, set select data is able to replace the current selection you have. So if I did this, it will replace the selection with the content. Let's try the file attachment API. Once we click this, I did something wrong. Let's pretend like that worked. What that will normally do is create an attachment in the attachment well with the file that it got from the URL. The attachment code that I upload on the GitHub will have correct working code, so you don't have to worry about that. And finally, let's try the set start API. And as you can see, I did a set hours 10, so we can see that the hour was set to 10 successfully. And another thing we should note is that OWA automatically tried to keep the same duration that it had before. So the duration before was 30 minutes, so it changed the end time accordingly to keep that duration of 30 minutes. And OWA will do this automatically for you before you set the end time. So if you want to change the duration, you should always set the start time before so that you can correctly set the duration that you want. And before we go back to the slides, I also want to show you the manifest a little bit. So this is the Visual Studio Manifest Editor. And what the manifest does, it defines the behavior of the app. It defines where and when it will activate. It'll also define the URL endpoint that the app should point to, so on and so forth. So if you look at the Compose Form tab here, you can see it activates on the email message and appointments. And also, it provides the source location for our HTML app. If you're not using Visual Studio to develop mail apps, then you will have to work directly with the XML. So let's go ahead and take a look at this too. Since it would be difficult to explain every nook and cranny of the manifest here, I'm going to just point out some highlights. If you're creating a Compose app, make sure you're using the 1.1 version of the manifest. Compose apps are not supported in the 1.0 manifest version. And here, we can see that in form settings, we have item edit. So that's the Compose scenario. And for desktop, which is OWA, as opposed to on the phone or on the iPad, or desktop also includes a desktop Outlook, we have here the URL that we want to point to for the app. And here we have permissions as well, read-write item, like I was telling you before. We want to make sure that it's not too loose or too strict, or a lot of the APIs are not going to work. And finally, we have these rule collections here. And basically, this new form type of edit will let the app know that it needs to activate in Compose scenarios. And if you also want your app to activate, this will be something. If you also want your app to activate in read pane scenario, this will be read or edit. or if you just want your app to activate and repaint scenario, usually your rules will be a little bit more complex, like maybe regex in the body or something like that, but this form type will be read instead of edit. All right, so let's go back to the PowerPoint. All right, so I just threw a bunch of information at you, and I want to leave you with this. When we built Compose apps, we were convinced that Compose apps would enable so many cool and useful scenarios that will increase productivity when a user is on Outlook or on their email. So we came up with three sample classes of scenarios that we will seize your mind with, and maybe you will come up with even cooler scenarios and go out and develop those scenarios into apps. So this first class of scenarios that I want to put in your minds is assisting with writing a message. And I've already shown you the default app we shipped with My Templates, and that is already pretty simple but powerful app, but what if you didn't have to pre-create the templates with the links that you send out frequently? What if the app was able to get the sent items in your mailbox, collect all the links that you send out frequently, and pre-create the templates for you so that all you have to do whenever somebody asks you for a long link to a documentation, you just click a button and enter it there. Another cool scenario is if you have to hold a meeting off-site, like the conference, for example, you have to book the meeting space. And currently, what you're going to have to do is, as you're creating the meeting invite, you're going to have to open another tab, you're going to have to book the meeting workspace, and then you're going to have to copy and paste the location information to the location field in your appointment. What if an app could just simply do that in the apps pane? You click one button to book the workspace, and it fills out for you the location field, and maybe even insert an image of a map to the workspace into the body. Also, if your organization is very hierarchical and how you send the email messages normally based on the org chart, what if there was an address book that could be opened side by side with your message, and you just traverse through your organization to find the right person you want to email, and just click, and it'll get added to the to line. Another class of apps that we really want you to think about are these template message and meetings app. So this screenshot right here is the screenshot of how Compose apps look like on the iPad. Even on the iPad, they're side by side, which really enables productivity in terms of being able to work with an app and work with a body of the message at the same time. So what if there was an app that could, if you're sending out a company newsletter to a bunch of your customers, you can just go through the templates side by side with your message and ensure you have the correct template that you want to send out before sending out the message. Or if you're working to close a deal with a customer, and the customer finally says, yes, I will buy this item, what if there was an app that lets you, with click of a button, calculate how much the product costs, create an invoice, and attaches it to the email and sends it to the customer, all with just a click of a button. And the final class of scenarios that I want to talk about is kicking off very common workflows. You already saw the DocuSign app, so that is one example of kicking off a workflow just from your inbox. Another scenario would be if you had to request an approval for a marketing campaign, instead of having to go through an external tool to another tab and have to copy and paste the content and get approval, what if you could just create a message, draft it all out, and with a click of a button in the Compose app,
send it out for approval, keep it in your drafts folder for a while, and when the approval comes, you just open it back up and send it to the customers. Final scenario that I think is really cool is, let's say you're having this really insightful conversation, email conversation, with another coworker. And at some point, you realize, hey, there are really good ideas in this email thread. What if, with a click of a button, you could save that email, that entire thread, to a SharePoint site, for example, or some central location where anybody can access it and have those great ideas in that conversation seed off into even greater ideas? So these are just some of the scenarios that I really want to seed into you, so that if you have great ideas that spawn off from these scenarios, I would like to encourage you to go ahead and build mail apps and make this platform great, so that our customers, our mutual customers, can increase their productivity and spend less time switching tabs and wasting time. So in conclusion, the demo code, like I said, will be posted to the Office Dev GitHub. The link is actually not on the PowerPoint anymore, but it's github.com/officedev. Pretty easy to remember. And the repo that it is under is Outlook Power Hour. And you will be able to just clone that repository and get all the code that I showed you today from the repository. Also, documentation is available on MSDN. I made this little shortcut so that you don't have to remember the long MSDN URL. It's just aka.ms/askforoutlook. And here I have a couple of related talks. Unfortunately, they've already all passed. So if you are interested, you can go to Channel 9, and all these talks will be recorded and uploaded, so you can go ahead and retroactively look at the sessions and get more information as needed. I encourage you to check out dev.office.com. It is a central location for all Office for apps for Office information, including apps for Word, apps for Excel. This is what it looks like. And I encourage you to explore our library, play with our samples, and like I said, just go ahead and build. Any idea is going to increase, in my opinion, the productivity of our mutual customers. So I just encourage you to, if you have an idea, just look at our documentations and start building and see where that takes you. If you have any questions, I will take them. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Somehow so when you're sharing the project, right, they ask for the pick. When I shared a project for the mail app, I didn't get a chance to pick. That means it's not MVC is not supported, right?
No, so MVC is ASP.MVC is supported for creating mail apps, because your front end of the app is completely separate from the back end of the app, which means you can create the back end of the app using whatever you want, including Python, Ruby, on Rails if you wanted to. The reason why the Visual Studio won't immediately tell you to pick MVC is probably because of how the Visual Studio team designed the toolset. But if you look at the second link in the first references slide after I talked about attachments, it's not going to talk about MVC framework, but it will talk to you about how to add the web API project onto the mail apps project. And that should be similar enough to the MVC project where that should be a good starting point. Any other questions? Well, thanks for coming out. This small but valiant crew of an audience. And please, if you have any questions, feel free to email me. I have business cards here, and I'll make sure you don't get blocked in your development of mail apps. Thanks.